to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 775. This is the first show of our season in our 16th year. My name is Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by my co-host with the mo-host, Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. On the show today, we have Cinnamon Path Productions and Jarrett Productions presenting A Million More to Go. And then later on, we'll be talking to Broadway in Austin and their little show called Frozen. And of course, we will have a lot of conversations about the world of theater in Austin, Texas, Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, London, and Dublin, Ireland. Stick with us.
For some humdrum people to be.
I'd like to say, Nicole, that I do not think that you are a humdrum person.
No, I'm not.
Okay, thank
but
you.
I love that.
Thanks
you
for being
that.
On the show.
I know why you played that, and I love that you played that.
I know that you know why I played that. I'll tell you when we talk about that secret thing that we're about to talk about.
So secret.
So secret. Nobody knows about it but
nobody.
Us.
Nobody.
I'll tell you some about my song selection. How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
So you're here today.
I am.
But you won't be here next week.
I know. Well, and I wasn't supposed to be here today, and then I switched with Amy. Remember? Oh, yeah, I was out, okay. But then I didn't remind you again. But then I'm gone a bit for some other stuff.
Yeah, for three more weeks.
Well, I got some funerals, and right. Then I have graduations, and then I have concerts and birthdays. And
You don't need to give me excuses. You just leave me. Let's introduce our guests that are here with us, shall we?
Yes.
We have the incredible Will Douglas. Hi, Will.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
And Jason Graff.
Hello.
And Jason, you will be joining me next week as co-host.
I am.
That's very exciting. This is the first time I've been able to talk about the co-host the week
before. Yeah. I know. See?
So are you nervous?
New things happening on the 16th
season.
16th season. No, 16th.
16th season. Yeah. 16th, yeah.
Yeah.
16th season. 15
Are
years old.
Are you wearing a new pair of glasses today?
Nope.
Oh.
I keep the sticker on.
You normally so do, but a lot of time they roll off. But today, these looked new. That's why I was asking. I know you like to roll with the sticker.
So that little piece of music we played was a Miss Patti LuPone.
From a gypsy.
From a gypsy. The big news, I mean, everybody's been talking about this. Do y'all know what we're going to talk about? Will and Jason?
No.
Oh, it's exciting.
It's
you'll
big,
enjoy
big
this.
News.
It's coming back.
It's coming back to Broadway.
Guess who's playing Mama Rose?
Who's playing Mama Rose?
I can't
Rose?
Tell you because it's but her name rhymes with Maudra McMumbles.
I think I know who you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, the Audra McDonald.
Audra wow. McDonald is playing.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yep. It's going to be directed by George C. Wolfe, choreographed by Camilla A. Brown, who's been like nominated. And
a whole bunch.
A whole bunch of stuff. It opens this December at the Majestic, which is the first theater show after the renovations.
Isn't that exciting?
And that was where Phantom of the Opera
was. I
was
like, that's where the fun!
For 35 years
of the opera.
Those were both excellent.
They were. So
that's why we were in it for so long.
As everyone knows, or most people knows, does everybody who remembers who originated the role of Mama Rose on Broadway? You can't say anything.
Okay, I won't.
Ethel Merman.
Ethel Merman. Yes. Very good. Here are some of the other people. Does anybody want to take a gander at who else has played? Some of the big names that have played it?
I know some of these, so I'm going to let you play this game. Not everyone. Yeah.
Well, Patti LuPone, we just talked. She's the most recent. Bernadette Peters.
Yeah. Yep, the Tyne Daly.
Tyne Daly. The Angela Lansbury.
I was like, Lansbury.
And this one I didn't even... I don't think I even knew this. Linda Lavin.
I knew Linda Lavin did because I couldn't get in to see it. I think she came in after it was Tyne that went into like Bernadette, and then like Linda came in, and I couldn't. There was something that I couldn't see Linda, but I saw the time. I saw the other ones.
So Audra McDonald has been in 13 Broadway shows and won Tonys for like I think 7.
She's
of them.
Like the only person who's won for like leading and supporting in both play and both musical.
She's the only one that has won acting awards in all categories.
Yeah, because she is Audra McDonald.
Yep. She's been nominated 10 times. Her 6 wins were for Carousel, Masterclass,
Mr.
Ragtime,
Terrence McNally,
A Raisin in the Sun, Porgy and Bess, and Lady Day at the Emerson's Bar and Grill.
Oh, what another great show. And they're all just, they're such different shows, different types of pace, different type of content, different type of genre, different type of music, like all of it. I just love that.
So
she's
here's
like a chameleon.
Here's an interesting thing. So when her casting was announced, she was the only cast member announced. No other leading roles were announced. And so the speculation was, okay, Mama Rose going to be black this time. So what does that mean for the rest of the casting? How are they going to do it?
Some people in it.
Are they going to do it? Are they going to make it an all black gypsy? Are they going to be completely colorblind? What is? Well, there has been a casting notice, so we now have the answers to those questions. Herbie is white male identifying. Louise is black female identifying. Baby June is biracial. With specifically a black mother and a white father. The three newsboys, this is kind of interesting, and I wouldn't have thought of this, but this Matt Temenini on Broadway Today talked about this. Is everybody familiar with the show?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the three black, the three boys, the newsboys in the Baby June thing,
uh-huh.
those are going to be all black.
Huh.
Later, when they're all older.
Growing up.
White.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, so the speculation is, so the idea is playing with kind of the race thing and saying that in that time era, the, you know, moving up to having white. I don't like saying this out loud, but like the idea is Mama Rose is like moving up in the hierarchy to have white performers.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know whether that's it, but that was a speculation that somebody had said. Anyway, very interesting.
I guess. I just cast the show and let me go see it. I don't know. I think
you don't
that
like
whole
talking about
no, I don't think. I think it's ridiculous. Like, okay, well, but that's just me.
Well, but on the radio, that's all we can do.
I know.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It is Pride Month, folks.
Happy Pride, everybody.
Way.
Tell me about
it. And I do want to call out Jarrett Productions right now, because on their website they have a Pride themed homepage.
We
good for y'all.
Do.
That's a great. You may be the only one in town that does that. That's great. So mazel tov for that, and we love Pride Month, and you can go and see all, you know, as everyone knows, Playbill, or most people knows, Playbill always has Pride logos. They
on
change
the playbills.
On the playbills, and you can see many of those right now at their website.
Yeah, you can see past years too, because Playbill has that cool archive section, and you can see all the different past playbills, and then they'll break it down by like musicals or by the Pride years or by what you want, you can find.
You know, the thing that I need to say here right out loud is that the views expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, the board of directors, or its staff or volunteers. It's simply our crazy little ideas that we do ourselves. So just know that going on. You know, I didn't know whether to take this into the local section or the national section, because we have actually several things here that sort of span both.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
talk about.
But I need to go national with this one. And that is that, you know, Austin has an incredible talent pool.
Yes.
Agreed.
And three young men.
I knew this article was coming out, but
did
I didn't.
You?
Yeah, because I didn't know when. But so I was so excited when it hit.
So
this
let me
weekend.
Just, well, why don't you tell folks what it is?
So it is a fantastic feature in the New York Times about three fantastically talented gentlemen that all convened in Austin at a point and have worked together and supported and cheered each other onto Broadway and are all three starring in Broadway currently in The Lion King and Hamilton.
And they are Trey Curtis, who is currently playing Alexander Hamilton, J. Quentin Johnson,
who's playing George, Washington George Washington on Hamilton, and Vincent Hooper playing Simba.
Pretty cool. And we had the fortune of having Vincent Hooper playing in our production of Parade.
Correct.
When he was still in high school, I think.
Yeah. And nice shout out to Impact Arts and all the work.
Yeah. And Lynn Koenig is quoted in the New York Times. Yes. We should say this article was written by Catherine Roseman. We've talked about it on this program before, but Adam Roberts has a wonderful podcast called Sotto Voce, I think so. And he interviewed Q on it. And just hear, I mean, his rise, you know, his first audition in New York City was for Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
And he got it.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, he got a lead. He was hired to understudy Hercules Mulligan, that track, and then Oak left before and he got the role. Amazing. And it's like, I just wanted to say, like, that's not the way it normally happens.
No, but what was really cool about the story and how she wrote it was really talking about their relationship and
correct.
How they cheer each other on and the hard work that went into it and the drive and the just being real people trying to make it happen, mm-hmm. like riding around in their Jeep doing their thing. And I think it was really fantastic.
Yes, I think it's awesome.
I was at UT at the same time as Quentin and Trey.
Oh, that's awesome.
I do not know Trey. I know Q and Vincent, I don't know Trey. Amazing.
My aunties are going to see Vincent and the Lion King next Wednesday.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to... wait a second. What are we going to move on to? Oh,
I don't know. There's so many things.
We're not going to really talk about this.
We're not going to get in here, but...
No, I know. So I just want folks to go to offstageonair.com and click the link about Tony Pictures. I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, that was kind of cool.
Did you look through them?
Yeah, I had to stop to go back to read them all, but the photos are just like
so
fantastic.
This is 50 old photos from 50 years of Tony Awards starting in 1950. And I went through and I just looked at them and tried to like name people. And that was amazing that some of the ones I didn't get. But there were a couple that I thought were interesting and surprising. But here's one with Audrey Hepburn, Dolores Gray, and Joan Van Fleet.
Yeah.
What was the one that I found really...
I was like, what was one you found really, really interesting?
I've got to find it. I'm looking... Oh, this is the one, actually, or one of the ones. It's James Earl Jones and Lauren Bacall. And James Earl Jones, I don't know, I could be wrong about this, and this my computer cut it off. I think he kind of... In this picture, he kind of looks like... RuPaul a little bit.
I see it a
doesn't
bit.
He?
Yeah. With the bald
I see
head.
That a bit.
It's
sure,
the
yeah.
suit.
He's completely
the
shaved.
With the
head.
Way
suit
it's and the, bald the, head. The bald head, the glasses, and the way the suit is with the tie, because when RuPaul is being out of drag and just going around as RuPaul, that's the very
you
same
rarely
tailored
see him
look.
In drag anymore.
No.
But there's just some...
Unless he's got a new single out.
But there's some wonderful
and
pictures.
And then she appears.
The other thing that I wanted to... oh, here there's one with Julie Harris, Glynis Johns, and offstage and on the air guest Ben Vereen.
Ben Vereen.
So
that was a fun day.
Yeah. So we
imagine Ben Vereen was here.
Yeah, in a tuxedo with a top hat and his chucks.
Yeah, we talked to him for about an hour. Wow. Yeah, it was really wonderful.
In that little room right over there, we all hung out.
Oh, did we do it in the small studio?
We did.
Okay, I don't remember. Oh, I do remember now. Okay.
Yeah.
We have photographs. Maybe we'll publish that photograph again.
You should.
So, yeah, that's something that's really fun to watch. This was, I should say, it's from Vanity Fair. And they put together, it's just wonderful.
Vanity Fair.
And here's an interesting thing. So everybody, I'm guessing our listeners know what the Tony Award looks like, correct?
Yes.
It's a base with a little, hook, yeah. with a little thing and a round
spinning
coin
that spins. Yes.
Well, in the first ones, and they're showing pictures of it.
Weren't
it's
they
really,
like a full like little
it was,
thingy?
It's just the coin.
It was just the coin.
It looked like it looked like an Olympics medal.
Have you ever picked one up? They're very flimsy.
Yes, I have held in my hand.
Weren't you surprised at how flimsy they were?
Oh, it wasn't flimsy at all.
Oh yeah, that was the
Jason Alexander's. I was in his house and I picked it up
his.
And I played with it and I spun it and everything.
That's
so
fantastic.
Much fun. Oops, I dropped a name accidentally.
Oh. Well, you're good friends with him. You can
man.
Do that.
Okay. You want to talk about Grobes, so I'm going to let
I
you talk about
I do
want
to
Grobes.
Talk about the Grobes.
Do it.
I am so excited because on June 24th will be the Jimmy Awards. For folks who don't know, the Jimmy Awards are the national awards for High School Musical Theater Awards.
And last year won by Austin.
Last year won by Austin, which was the first time they were eligible within the national awards. Go Langston Lee
cool.
on that one. But every year it's basically the Tonys for high schoolers, and they announced the host for this year's awards. And I am so excited for the children's and for us viewers. It is the Grobes. The Josh Groban
wow.
is hosting the Jimmy Awards. And you can find more information on that at thejimmyawards.org. It's
yep.
part of the run by the Broadway League.
So yeah, that
yeah. Did you see? I sent you as soon as they dropped it, and we got the copy from them. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm yeah. sending that to Lisa. We have to talk about the Grobes.
All right, so we have a couple of little Tony information. First of all, it's on CBS, I think next.
It's
week?
It is CBS. It's yep. always on the CBS, yep. but this is also on. The,
it's on its
the Freeverse or Pluto. Pluto.
Yes,
Pluto.
which I did not realize till today that is also owned by CBS.
Yes,
I can't keep them all straight.
Yeah. Yes.
Can't, no.
No, man, my Roku used to have like two channels, and now yep. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't. When which one was that
okay.
one on?
I'm gonna move on. From that to...
I don't want people doing that when they're looking for the Tonys.
We're
it's
done with
the
this.
Pluto.
Moving on.
Okay, let's just continue. Let's talk. This is the Pluto radio show.
No.
Okay. There's an article in... What was this article? In Deadline about hair and makeup. So, you know, hair and makeup... is not an official Tony Award.
Which is so strange.
Which,
wow,
well, it
what?
Doesn't, I guess it might have made sense once upon a time, but now, so it's hair, wigs, and makeup, actually. And they talked
yeah.
about this because Jaja's hair braiding, African hair braiding, is getting a special Tony Award for hair and makeup. But that's how they recognize it. They add hair and makeup as part of the costume design section. But it really should be its own thing. There is not a
agreed.
Show
yeah.
that doesn't use wigs
no,
now.
We yeah, had this conversation yeah. a couple weeks ago, and we said that the Tonys should have the hair and makeup, and the Oscars should have stuntmen. And it's like
yep,
the two
agreed.
Things that neither thing could happen without...
Well,
honoring
the thing is,
those
and
people.
I was just one of the things I've gone down, you know, I oftentimes go down the TikTok rabbit hole, and I forgot what show it was. I love watching quick changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was somebody's quick change. It was a male, forgot what it was, but as soon as he gets on, he takes his wig off. And this is, you know, he doesn't look like he actually needs to wear a wig for the role, but they do because it just makes things so
yes.
much more
easier,
convenient
yeah.
and much easier, especially in a musical.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can put your...
Well, look at Mr. Wormwood and Matilda. He can't not have a wig.
Right. So so wigs and then hair.
They're not costumes, even though they enhance each other. They're not the same. There's different
correct.
Creative on it.
Absolutely,
it doesn't
yeah.
like.
I'm hearing that we in this room think it should be.
Yes.
There
is,
absolutely.
There
yes.
is a petition going around, and the petition organizers, they assert that wig, hair, and makeup and costume designing have traditionally been considered pink collar jobs filled disproportionately by women. As such, the jobs have been undervalued. This petition seeks to dispel any lingering notions of this narrative and emphasize the significant impact made by these departments. So it doesn't say where the petition is if the folks want to
most,
sign it.
Most people go to Change, don't they? Isn't that like the main petition place? I guess you could Google petition for Tonys.
Yeah, hold on. There's a. Let me click this link and see if it takes us to where it is.
You're clicking a random link?
It's not letting me click. Anyway, the organization called is It's About Time. So if you would Google or search for It's About Time, wigs, hair, wigs, you'd find it. All right. The other thing I want to say really quickly before we go running late, of course, there is a And the trailer is available at offstageonair.com, or you can just search for it. Slave Play, Not a Movie, a Play. Documentary.
I just saw the trailer for that.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it look amazing?
It looks fascinating.
And Slave Play is Jeremy O'Harris, and I've lost my little menu that lets me change things. I don't know. Help! I found it. Everybody.
You looked like you were crunching numbers over there.
Everybody
there
just
was some
relaxed.
Hard work happening on that iPad.
Anyway, it was the production is 12 Tony nominations for Slave Play. Anyway, it is happening part of the Tribeca Film Festival, which happens on June 10th.
Happens
on June 10th, but it is coming to HBO Max on June 20th.
Which is another stupid app you have to get.
I've had it from the very beginning.
I'm just saying, that if you're looking for that, it's another one.
All right, there's lots more to see. You can go to offstageonair.com to see the stuff that we didn't talk about. But I do want to just mention one last thing. We have we lost a theater person. Had a wonderful,
really 100, crazy career, right?
Yeah, over 100 years old. Janice mm-hmm. Page. She died at 101. She was the original. I forgot that character's name in Pajama Game. She starred in Pajama Game.
I don't know, but Kelly O'Hara did really good when she did that with Harry. That character.
That's true.
I can't think of her name either.
So interestingly enough, my familiarity mostly with the Pajama Game is the movie starring Doris Day and John Raitt. Yeah. And she
uncredited
was
uncredited Bob Fosse.
True. And she was not allowed. They didn't bring her to the movie because they wanted a star.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes me mad. Mm-hmm. The last thing about the Gypsy, the song that I played for Gypsy, I was hoping that Audra McDonald in one of her albums
had sung something from
Gypsy. She had, and I couldn't find it. So that's why that did not happen. So we're going to take a break and come back and talk to our guests about their show coming up. And we will listen to Ms. Janice Page from Pajama Game singing I'm Not At All In Love. We'll be right back.
I'm not at all in love, not at all in love, not I.
We are back. You were listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We had a lovely and fun conversation with our guests, and we're going to introduce them officially now. And I will do that. We have director of this piece, and your title at Jarrett Productions is?
Managing Director.
Managing Director is Will Douglas. Welcome back, Will.
Hello.
And one of the actors in his show, Jason Graff.
Hello.
And if technology is our friend right now, we have the playwright of this show, which I guess I should call As a Million More to Go, Mr. Max Lingert. Hi, Max.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Wonderful. Can I ask, are you on speakerphone?
No, I've got this headphone stuff. Am I echoing?
You're a little echoey, but you know, we could live with that if that's okay.
Okay. All right. If it works, that's great.
Great. We'll make it work. So this show is called A Million More to Go. Max, what is this show about?
Before we go into that, can I just let you know that I saw Galileo the musical here at the Berkeley Rep with Raul Esparza.
Oh
wow.
I'm yes, jealous. I love Raul Esparza.
Did you like the musical?
He's wonderful. The production values were fantastic. I hope they tweak the writing a little bit before it goes to Broadway.
How was the music?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
It was great.
Can you sing things. Something from it for us?
Yeah, give us 10 bars.
Yeah, 16 bars. No? Okay.
No,
whatever. I had more hope for you. Okay. Well, good. Amazing. Well, so we'll have to get you on the show to talk about your experience in more detail.
Okay.
Now tell us about this show, A Million More to Go.
Well, this show is a comedy. It was inspired by some of the shenanigans that happened after the 2020 election with sort of vote recounts and that kind of thing.
No, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I know. And it doesn't take any real political sides necessarily. It's more about sort of the ridiculousness of a group of people that are trying to get a handle on what really happened during a recent election.
Interesting.
It's very interesting.
That's
nicely
good.
Done, Max.
Okay. Will, do you want to expound on that? Anything about this production? What's fun about it? What's the look and feel? Where does it take place? Etc.
What's fun about it is Max's writing. And
Max's writing is always fun.
Yeah, and the incredible cast we have. Rehearsals have been... we've been working very hard and having lots of fun, which do not always go hand in hand.
How many people are in the cast?
Five people. Five
and
people,
I happen to know that Jason Graff is in the cast.
I am.
Who else is in the cast?
We have Natalie D. Garcia.
Heard of her.
Kelsey Mazat.
Heard of her.
Jennifer Jennings.
Mm-hmm. You got
and
some peeps.
Mike Wee.
Mike Wee.
Yes.
Unfamiliar with that
I don't
person.
Know Mike Wee either.
He's
he's more than Mike I.
From Chicago. He teaches at Zach North and also teaches improv classes at Coaltown.
Yep.
Excellent. Fantastico. We like
Excellent.
The Chicago
Wonderful.
People.
So, Jason, tell us about your character.
Characters. I play.
Characters. Tell us about your characters.
Well, one of them is a mute, silent mass of violence, and the other one is someone who appears to be in charge, and another one is a guy who's just kind of laid back and just trying to do his job. And then we have a rather southern. None of this makes sense.
Okay, you play a lot of
yes,
of roles.
A variety of roles.
So, is there a protagonist and an antagonist? Who's at the center of this story?
I will say these are all very difficult questions out of context.
Out of context.
I will kind of standard question.
I will say that
it's hard hitting news here to you guys. Come
to
on.
Answer your question, things are always shifting in this play.
Okay.
Power dynamics are always shifting. So,
who the hell wrote this piece?
His name is Mats Lindert.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. That was a joke.
And
he's
so it's,
laughing
it's,
in the phone. I hear him.
It's really difficult to identify a protagonist, and perhaps our idea of who the protagonist is changes by the end of the play. So,
I'm trying to get what's the setting? Where are we?
We are in a cabin in the woods.
Yes, unidentified cabin
in
the woods.
The woods.
And there is a group of citizens who are doing their best to do the job they have been assigned, and due to the machinations and personalities of the people also in that world with them, chaos ensues.
Okay. Are we tallying votes in this cabin? Is that what's happening?
We are.
Yes.
Okay. I got that from the description.
You know why? You're a smart cookie.
I'm a smart
you
cookie.
Are smart
so, Max,
cookie.
Tell us, you know, you said that this was sort of inspired by the 2020 election.
Yeah.
What was it in particular that drove you to write this play?
I'm so glad you asked me that specific question.
Thank God I got one right.
I was like, well, someone's happy about the questions.
Finally.
In my reading at the time, when I was reading a lot of news, there was a group, and I don't think that Will or Jason actually know this, so this will be fun. I was reading about the Arizona election in particular, and that a team had been hired called the Cyber Ninjas to do a recount of all the votes. And this team was paid some millions of dollars. It took them 6 months, and it was sort of just a comedy of errors. They kept screwing things up, losing ballots and all that kind of jazz. And then my recollection is that after 6 months of recounting and millions of dollars, they basically came up with the exact same count that they had started with. And reading about this group seemed so ridiculously, even their name, that I wanted to try to capture some of that absurdity, societal absurdity. So that's kind of where the inspiration came from.
Oh, that's amazing. And Will Douglas, as your job as managing director, is the timing of this particular piece for Jarrett Productions for obvious reasons?
It is.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
I will be right back. A quick shout out to Scriptword, because that's the organization where I first came into contact with this play. Mm-hmm. It was actually before I directed The Pact, which is another Matt's.
I've heard of that play. I hear it was expertly acted.
It was very well acted. Oh, and very well directed, I must say.
And very well directed, yes, both.
Don't you love it when the star and director are in the room?
And the playwright.
Yes. And the playwright. Yeah. That's playwright. Right, yes. On the phone. In the space. We're all in the space.
And so I came across this play 3 years ago. I guess it's 3 years ago.
Maybe 2 years ago.
2 years ago? Okay, that makes more sense, actually.
I've told you 100 million times not to exaggerate.
And we were kind of looking for a third thing at Jarrett Productions to do, and I had known that Matt's was trying to get this done before the election, and I thought it would be a match made in heaven to co-produce. Very intentional to be before this coming election.
And Max, I should say that you are Cinnamon Path Productions. Is that correct?
I mean, I'm the voice of Cinnamon Path Productions.
One and the same. Well, that's amazing. I'm excited to see this. Do you have any? Is there anybody else on the team you would like to do a shout out to? Anything jump out at you?
Yeah, I can do a quick shout out. Obviously, our main producers are David Jarrett of Jarrett Productions.
Never heard of him.
Max Langert of Cinnamon Path Productions.
Never heard of him.
We have a company manager, Jennifer A. Anderson, who's been with us for a while now.
Jen, I know Jennifer
Anderson. Our stage manager is Marali Porras. We have a lighting by Amy Lewis, technical direction by Daniel Hernandez, sound design by Craig Brock, property design by Caitlin Hartnagel. We have a specialty prop artist for fun piece that is in this show.
I saw that listed. It's actually, you say it's a super fun piece, but it is actually called out as to what it is in your stuff.
I was about to say, what is it?
But since you're being very coy about it, I'm not going to say anything.
I'm going to give you the title of the thing. It is called The Bloodhound. Our designer for that piece is Lisa Ashby, an audio engineer by Owen Ailman.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking so forward to seeing it. When do you open?
We open on June 14th, next Friday, and we run until the 30th.
Of June or August?
June.
Yeah, it's a joke. They're so good.
And we are running at we are running at Trinity Street Playhouse.
Wonderful. That was the next thing I was going to ask you. Well, great. Awesome. Thank you all so much for coming on the show. And
yes, thank you.
Yeah. And Max, I hope you're enjoying yourself out there in California as best you can.
I am. And I'll try to get Raul Esparza to make a cameo in the play if you want to come.
I think that.
Well, please let me know if that's happening.
Nicole will actually come
to a show.
Yeah, maybe.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Will Douglas, Jason Graff, and Max Langert of Cinnamon Path Productions and Jarrett Productions production of A Million More to Go, opening on June 14th, plays through the 30th. For more information, it's at Trinity Street Theater.
Yes.
For more information, you may visit jarrettproductions.com. And this is from Pickwick, the musical.
This made me laugh. I don't know where you found this, and I love it.
It's called A Hell of an Election. We'll be right back. There'll be a hell of an election. One hell of an election. Hold on. Say that again. I didn't have your microphone on.
I have to learn more about that musical. That was a fun song. That was a crazy title, a crazy musical. Do you know anything about it?
You know what? I did not look that one up.
We
have played something from it before.
We have?
Yes.
Was it that fun?
It was, because it was this song. So it was part of my election collection.
Oh, I love that you have an election
collection. And it was part of that. So this is the point in the show where we talk about a local junk. You might think it's a typo because it's exactly what was left over from last week. It says the citywide unified auditions, which already happened. They happened last weekend. I was not able to go to both days, but I went to the first day. And I want to say how happy I am to live in Austin with the amount of talent we have here. There were like 150 people that came to this audition, and I saw so much
that's
good
talent.
That's
fantastic.
And shout out to Sharon Anderson of ATXtheater.org who organized the whole thing. So the citywide audition, the unified auditions have been going on since I've lived here.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, for 2 years myself.
I was like, didn't you work on them?
Yeah. Me and Heather, lost her name, lost her last name.
Collier.
Heather Collier and I organized them. They were done by ACOT, mm-hmm. Austin Circle of Theaters. And then it switched over to Austin Creative Alliance. Mm-hmm. And it was, and Jenny Lavery organized them for ACA, she did an amazing job. Uh-huh. But I tell you this, Sharon Anderson has taken it up and turned it up to 12.
Nice.
She went past 11.
Nice. With a lot of theaters come and participate too?
More theaters than I've ever seen there before.
That's fantastic.
So I'd say there were probably, on the day I was there, there were probably 15 or 20 theaters
That's
represented.
That's great.
And we're doing it at the Zach at the Wizenhunt?
The Wizenhunt, yes.
Bigger of the two
the
others?
The middle one.
Yes.
It looks like the Pizza Hut.
Correct.
Yes.
I just get the Clayburgh and the Wizenhunt mixed
the
up,
Wizenhunt.
And I pronounce
no, no,
them
no,
incorrectly.
No, that's not right. That's the Clayburgh.
Okay, the
yeah.
Clayburgh. All right.
The Wizenhunt is in the round.
Right, okay.
And so, the teeny meeny peeny off the Toomey.
Yeah, okay, which has got King of Hearts in it.
Correct. The Alchemy Theater is in that
yes.
space right now.
Anyway, so the whole center section, so it's a three-quarter round, the whole
is
center section
best?
Was
yes.
full.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a great space. That's a great space to do an audition, too.
It is a great space. I will say this. I'm very happy. So that used to be the main theater for Zach. That was where they did all
the... years before the Top Floor was built.
Before the Top Floor was built. But I'm very happy. You know, I run a theater here in town called Ground Floor Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the bane of my existence is our HVAC unit because it's loud. But you know what? Zach's in the Clayburgh is louder than ours. So
that makes you feel better?
That makes me happy.
Oh, there you go.
In a very weird way.
I'm sure Zach did that just for you,
I'm sure
Lisa.
They did. Anyway, and very generous of them to donate the space. And it just... I just can't say enough good things about it. And
that's great.
It's the second year that ATX Theater
and
has done it.
And then people are like, wait, no, I missed it. You can find more information about next year and other stuff at atxtheater.org.
The other thing that I'm going to say is that the other thing that Sharon did, and she flipped the script a little bit. For all the years that the unified auditions were happening, the auditioners had to pay to audition. It was a pay-to-play situation. It wasn't a whole bunch, you know, like $25 or something. But Sharon, rightly so, said, no, the actors shouldn't have to pay. And it is funded by the theater companies and ATX Theater.
Interesting.
So, and I think that's important. Last year, and I will say this, that I want them to bring back, is they had a dance call last year. And by and large, most of the people that do musicals here in town don't do the big dance musicals. So I didn't think it was really good for those of us that were watching. But as Austin tends to kind of be a farm team for New York and Chicago and LA,
mm-hmm.
the experience for the actors is they came in early as a group. They learned a dance combination that day, and then they came in and performed it.
They should
it,
do that. That's part of the whole experience.
Which is what yeah. happens in the big leagues.
Uh-huh.
And I was really sad that they didn't do it again. First of all, for us as watching, it was a great little... It was like sorbet. We got to watch a little dance routine. We had a great time.
On the same time,
it was great for
the performers. I can think of some of the musicals coming up for theaters around Austin, just off the top of my head without looking,
mm-hmm.
that will need people who dance.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
Yeah. I agree.
I back you up on that
All
one.
Right. Let's jump into what is happening. Lots of new stuff opening this week. At Ground Floor Theater, Soldadero, a mariachi musical.
I love mariachi.
Done by Teatro Sin Frontera. This is a theater, TYA Theater for Young Audiences happens this weekend and next weekend during the day. You can get information. I know it's on Ground Floor Theater's website, but it's also, all of this is on atxtheater.org. Yeoman of the Guard, Gilbert and Sullivan, is happening on the 7th to the 16th. I don't know if this is a good thing to say. I'd encourage folks to take a look at that. I love going to Gilbert and Sullivan shows because I feel young.
Oh, that's funny. Yes, you do say that.
And I am 65 years old, and I feel young in that audience. So that's happening at June 7th through the 16th. And then City Theater, How the Other Half Loves, June 7th through the 23rd. ACC is doing a musical. I think this is a musical. I could be wrong about it being a musical. We're going to try to get them on the show. Hearts Like Fists, from the 7th to the 23rd. Last chance to see Cabaret Futur X by Proyecto Teatro. It closes on the 8th. My HEB over at Hyde Park Theater goes till the 30th. Oh, no. It started on the 30th
of
May.
Yeah, I was like, wait, I thought
through
it started.
Through the 22nd.
Okay.
And then King of Hearts, as we talked about, at Alchemy Theater over at the
Wizenhunt
place through the 16th. Emma is playing at Austin Playhouse through the 30th. The Tavern, different stages, is playing through the 16th. Romeo and Juliet, still going.
Just
over the
this
curtain.
Weekend. It's not July. It ends in June.
Thank you for doing
so
that.
So this is the last weekend.
I have to remember. I will probably say that next week.
I'll
so
remind
just
you
me.
And send you a note. But yes, it runs through June 9th.
Thank you. I didn't
because
think
they'll
going
go
on.
Into Young Shakespeare after that in
Very
June.
Good. And what is Young Shakespeare doing this year?
I don't know if they've announced it yet.
Oh, okay.
So,
never mind.
Maybe they did, but I don't want to be the one to ruin stuff. But you could find more information at austinshakespeare.org.
There you go.
And you do need reservations for that one at the curtain.
At the curtain. The curtain. Yeah. Curtain's for you.
Because it's normally in the park. People are like, what's going on? It's just not in the park this year. They're finishing those renovations.
Park is closed.
Before the Legally Blonde.
Park is closed.
That's not true.
No, the Park Theater, the amphitheater is closed.
Oh, it is right now, but it will be back open by Legally Blonde.
Yes. Okay.
Today, but all the normal events, you know, they just can't happen right now.
Today in theater history.
Tell me about the stuff that happened,
I am going to.
Lisa.
I think Home is opening tonight.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. They don't say when, but, you know, they've been
it's
doing
this
that.
This week. How about
and
that?
And it is a Pride playbill. So there you go. Birthdays. A lot of people I don't know, and I'm guessing you do.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Anna Villafañe? Boy, that was a hard one. Colin Wilkinson? Spalding Gray. I know him. David Hare?
Spalding Gray. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
David Hare. These names sound familiar, so I feel
David
like I
Hare,
should. Yeah.
Deborah Yates and Michael K. Lee. Birthdays.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy
all
bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire.
The Tonys happened twice at this date, once in 2005 at the Radio City Music Hall, and once in 1983. Oh, and I don't know. Oh, at the Gershwin Theater.
Isn't that funny how the calendar does that?
Yeah. It's amazing. So that's it. So let's. Do you remember the show that won the best musical in 2005?
Nope.
Spamalot. Just had a revival. Just closed.
They just did have a revival. That original cast was so darn good. It was hard. Even with this new revival cast, I was like, I don't think if I can do that.
Lots of good people.
Tim Curry. It's the last thing I saw Tim Curry in.
Oh, did you see it?
I did, but the David Hyde Pierce.
And the what's his name, who we're going to just hear from. What's his name?
Christian Borrell.
Yeah. And he sings this song, although I don't know that we're going to hear him in the cut we're playing. But this is Not
Sarah
Dead Yet
yeah.
from Spamalot. We'll be back.
I am not dead yet. I can dance and I can sing. I am not dead
And
yet.
We are back. You are still listening to Offstage and On the Air here on KOOP in the city of Austin, Texas. I am still Lisa Sheps. And who are you?
I am still Nicole Shiro.
Well, I believe opening... Hold on. Let me check my calendar here. What is the date today?
Today is the 5th.
Yeah. So opening tonight is Frozen.
The Frozen.
Which I've never seen. Have you seen it?
Have
you seen the movie?
Part of it.
I mean, the musical.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
So it's playing
new
here.
New songs, has the stuff you like, but it's way more than just the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you have seen the stage
play. Yes, it's got way more. And it's cool puppets.
Cool puppets. CPs, as we call them.
Cool costumes.
So it starts here, and they are doing a two-week run here in Austin. I'm really happy that Broadway in Austin is starting to do two-week runs every now and then.
Every now and then. The Disney's always normally do.
Disney's and
the
Wicked.
Hamiltons, the Wicked.
And the Hamiltons.
The Book of Mormons.
So we like two-week runs. What that tells me is that...
People go to the theater.
People are going to the theater. Yeah. So, you know, I would just like to encourage those people that spend the time to go see the Broadway tours to also go see some of the local stuff we've got here.
Yeah.
You've got 2 weeks of shows where 3,000 people are coming nightly. So that's like 10,000 people total.
It's a lot of shows and a lot of
people. It's more than 10,000. Anyway, so they could all be coming to support local theater, which I think is really important.
Uh-huh.
But you and I, like the old days, like the old...
Back in the archives.
Back in the archives, back when we were shut down and we were doing everything via Zoom, we spoke to one of the actors, Jeremy Davis, who plays Olaf.
Isn't that fun? We got Olaf.
Yeah, we got Olaf. So he's, you know what?
Lisa, do you want to build a snowman?
I do want to build a snowman. Who doesn't want to build a snowman?
Right?
Okay, well, let's listen to that interview, shall we?
Yes.
Here it is. Hey, everybody. We are lucky enough to have Jeremy Davis, who is here in town with the national tour of Frozen the Musical. I'm so cold. And Jeremy plays someone that's pretty cold, Olaf. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Hi. Hi, Jeremy. Happy to be here.
Hello.
Hi.
We are so happy to have you here. So I don't know whether it's good or bad. I've never seen Frozen. I've only seen the animated version. So when I come and see you, will be the first time I will have seen this particular show.
Great. You're in the same boat as a lot of our audience, I think.
Yeah. We all know each other.
Which I think is kind of awesome because the stage version is so expanded and it's everything about the film you love, but it's so much more. And I try to say to people, no, it's an adult show. It's an everybody show. It's not a kid show. It's everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and I love. You play Olaf, who is a snowman, I believe.
He is. He's a snowman. He's made of magical snow. Elsa made him herself with magic.
Excellent. And you you actually operate a puppet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's done on stage. We use a puppet. He's connected to me. He's about 3.5-4 feet tall. And I'm totally visible. I'm costumed in a sort of a white coat and a big hat. And he's attached to me.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, yeah. We move around together and like his feet are attached to my feet. So when I walk, he walks and we sort of we dance around and it's sort of a team effort to create the character.
So doing things with puppets has become relatively popular. I think in a large part due to The Lion King and Julie Taymor right. In terms of its wide popularity and use. So had you done puppeting? Have you played a puppet character before?
I had not. Olaf taught me everything I know about puppeteering.
So no Avenue Q in your past?
No Avenue Q, no Lion King. I had never worked with a puppet before. And it was daunting, you know? I mean, the puppet itself, it was designed and built by Michael Curry, the guy who did Lion King. And so it's a beautiful piece of artwork and it works wondrously. But I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, I got put in that thing and I didn't know what I was doing. I felt like
like you have this idea in your head of a character and then you add your puppet to it. And
yeah. And I mean, the puppet is this huge part of it, you know, and so I couldn't get him to do what I wanted to do. I felt really awkward and cumbersome. And I remember I went home after that first rehearsal and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, what are you going to do? You can't do your job. You have to figure this out. But you know, like, and like anything else in life, the more you do it, the more you understand it, the better you get at it, the more sort of second nature it becomes. And so I took it a step at a time. I figured out how to use his feet. I figured out how to use his arms. I figured out how to blink. I just took it really kind of step by step. And now, I mean, it's many years later now, and it feels like we just sort of dance around together. He feels like a dance partner.
Yeah. So you've been involved with Frozen from the get go, right?
Yeah. I started in a couple of the, I think maybe the very first developmental workshop of the show. And then did one more of those. I did the out of town tryout in Denver, and then I did the whole Broadway run. I was an understudy. I was the understudy for Olaf and the Duke of Wesselton then. And then I came out here on tour. I was the understudy for about a year out here on tour, and then I took over the role in the fall of 2022.
Well, that's amazing. We can do a whole show on what it takes to put together a Broadway show, much less part of the developmental process, and that's just exciting. And it's got you must feel really good about your experience with this show.
Yeah, it's been the longest experience I've had with one single show. And it's been very, very cool to be a part of it through all those stages, to, you know, be part of that development and then part of the opening and then part of the long run and part of the tour. And it's had a really long, beautiful life. And it's been lovely to be a part of that life the whole time.
Well, I'm super looking forward to seeing it. And I do want to ask you some other questions, but I want to just stick with Frozen for just a little bit more.
You can't let it go, Lisa.
I can't let it go. Don't make me sing. I won't do it. And you just made me lose my train of thought. Thanks, Nicole. As Nicole mentioned, and one of the things that I've always said about, I've had a long history working with theater for young audiences and family theater, and what makes a really good family show is that it's fun for the kiddos, but it also has to be fun for the adults. I mean, I think Lion King does a really good job of that. I think some other things. I don't want to mention it by name, but it rhymes with Schmoody and the Schmeast do a little less good of a job of that. So how are the adults going to like this one? I think Nicole already answered that question.
I mean, I think adults will love it as well. It really, there's some heavy issues in it. You know, it's really about these two sisters that are torn apart because one of them has a secret and she's afraid of herself and she's afraid of what she can do to her sister. And it's only by sort of learning to accept that part of herself that they're able to come back together. So that's sort of a pretty adult theme, but it's also, it's a Disney show. It's like full of jokes and fun, and it's got this real pure heart to it. And I sort of like to say that it's really good for kids of all ages and shapes and sizes. You know, like, we have the small ones that, you know, that are in the theater for the first time, but we also have like big kids who have been on this earth for like 50 years, and they are enjoying it just as much as the little ones.
Amazing. You know, the thought of being on the road is tough because we're away from family a lot of times, but you don't have that problem with this show.
No, my wife is in the show too. So, you know, like you say, being on tour, the hardest part about being on tour, and both she and I, my wife and I have done it before, is that you're alone. You know, you're away from your family, you're away from your home, but because we're together on this one, we just sort of feel like we're taking our home around the country with us. I don't have that problem with this particular job, which is one of the reasons why it's been such a wonderfully beautiful experience.
And that's wonderful. And as we know, awesome. You know, when you go on the road with the show, or whenever even you do a sit down place, you build a little family anyway around the rest.
You do.
So you have.
I mean, that's really true. Your show company becomes your extended family. You get really, really tight with people when you're on the road.
Have you been to Austin before?
No, I have not, but I'm very excited to go. Every time someone asks me if I've been and I say no, they say, "Oh my God, you're going to love it."
So what are you looking forward to exploring here?
I'm really sort of open to what, I mean, what do you think I should? What's not to be missed in Austin?
Well, barbecue.
Okay. Yes. I'm vegetarian, so that's going to be a little rough on me.
Yeah, so never mind.
We have some really good vegetarian restaurants, and there is some vegetarian and vegan barbecue.
Great.
You'll enjoy our river, which we call a lake. You can go see the bats. I would, you know, our capital.
Beautiful.
I don't like what they do in there, but the Capitol building itself is really gorgeous and worth the trip. Okay. So there's lots of things to do here. We're big into nature here. And you could You could go to the theater here. We have a lot of local theater. Because know on your night off, you want to go see a show.
Yeah, we'll consider it. We'll see if we end up in the theater on Monday.
Great. Actually, nobody does shows on Monday, so you're off the hook. Well, God, I wish you the best of luck. I will see you. I think I'm coming on Tuesday night. So
no, Thursday.
So good. So this actually, we're recording this a week before folks are listening to it. Okay. So I will be going to see it tomorrow night.
Great.
And I look forward to seeing you. Well, enjoy your time here in Austin, and
best wishes
on the run here.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be there.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was Jeremy Davis. He is playing Olaf in the national tour of Frozen, playing at the Bass Concert Hall from June 5th through the 16th. For more information, you may visit BroadwayInAustin.com.
Solid water when it gets warm.
Poppin'.
And I can't.
That was fun.
Pee poppin'.
That was fun. We popped my peas. So we just have time to say goodbye. Poppin'. So I will miss you over the next 3 weeks.
I will miss you.
I want you to have safe travels. Coming up next is...
Back and forth.
Coming up next is our new season is Tracy Schultz with What's New. So we're very excited to have him. I will be back with Jason Graff next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Oh, and I wish I can't really talk about this. I found
last
this song.
Page, I don't know what it is.
Yes, it's actually a description of this show, but I can't.
It is.
We don't have time to go for it. It's this show. I cannot pronounce it. It's in German, Die Königin, and this is called Pack News. It's called Bad News. And that's all I know about it.
Okay.
So
it won 4 German musical theater awards.
It did.
Including 1 for best musical.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.